Welcome to Mind Styling, the podcast that explores how we can win at the game inside our heads and make a mark on this world in our own unique style, on our own terms.
We interview entrepreneurs and leaders who aren't afraid to push the boundaries and set their own definitions of success. We will share with you the tips and techniques they use to style their mind and give you the tools you need to start mind styling for yourself.
Hello, Mind Stylists. It's so lovely to be here with you. This is the first time we're recording an episode for quite a while, and we are very, very happy today to be joined by Natalie Alpi. I'm not going to do a big, long introduction because we have a whole podcast as an introduction to Natalie, who is the co-founder of Cookies HQ, and she has had a busy year. So as we draw to the end of 2021. We're recording this episode. Amy and I thought it'd be really nice to check back in with Natalie and talk a little bit about what's been going on. So, Natalie, hello, welcome. And Amy, welcome to our podcast as well.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's really good to be back.
Thank you for being
here. Welcome back. We're so excited that you said yes. Thank you so much, Natalie. And it just felt such a lovely time to be talking to you because it's the end of the year and Becky and I have been thinking about the gift in endings, and actually that's perhaps resonating with you more than others. What has been going on?
Yeah, it's perfect timing for talking about good endings and happy endings and new beginnings as well for next year. So what's been going on? Just as a very short introduction, so yes, I'm MD at Cookies HQ, and we have very recently been acquired. So I founded the business with my husband 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago. It's an agency, software agency based in Bristol. We worked with a variety of clients, a variety of projects, all software-based. We've been, you know, up and down like any business, and when COVID hit, it's been hard, like a lot of other businesses, and we made it through. We made a very small profit. We didn't put anyone on furlough. It was quite good, but very hectic and tiring, to be fair, especially because you feel like you need to do a bit more to hold everything together. It all picked up again really quickly in January 2020, when COVID it didn't obviously go away, but everything kind of settled down. And especially in the tech industry and software industry, it all picked up really quickly, and we felt it, which was great news for us. And we're really happy. Worked on 4 or 5 new projects this year. And then in the summer, one of our clients made us an offer. So we had just built their MVP. It went live in June, went for a very successful pilot. They had really good feedback, and we're trying to get some traction, and then they made an offer to for the cookies team to become their team, so they didn't want to share us with anyone else. They wanted us just for themselves, and I think it was just the right time for us. It was the right people. It's people we've worked with before on other projects, and we really enjoy working with them. We trust them. And it was also the right product. It ticked all the boxes, if you like, of purpose and pivot and what we wanted to do personally and as a business as well. We were acquired officially in October, and we're now moving away. So we're closing down Cookies HQ. It will be no longer. And we're handing over all of our lovely clients to other agencies. From January, from the 1st of January, we will be officially no more cookies and working solely on this new product. It's really exciting.
Wow. What a change. Back in the summer when you had that acquisition deal, were you thinking about endings and new beginnings? Were you thinking about acquisition in any way?
It had come up before. So it was already in the back of our mind, something we had thought about before. We'd had previous offers. So it makes you think. The first one comes out of the blue and you're like, oh, do I not want this? What will make me do it? Because obviously having your own business is big, especially for 10 years. And it was a very sustainable, profitable business. There was no issue. We were not struggling. So it makes you think. So we had thought about previously about what would make us do it. So when actually that offer came through, a lot of that thinking had already been done. So we kind of knew where we stood at that point. And we knew, obviously, there's a financial aspect that's not, you know, it's part of it. And there's a big reason for it. You know, when you build something over 10 years, you kind of want a bit of a financial reward for it. But it's also, what do you do next? And I think that when a business gets acquired, a lot of the time, the founders are looking for an exit and just to go away from it and leave it, which in our case is absolutely not the case. We don't want to leave our team. We don't want to leave that business. We want to stay in it. We it's more of a pivot rather than us trying to exit as well as such. Mm. And yeah, it the decision was actually taken really quickly in terms of when the offer came through properly. We knew we wanted to do it pretty much instantly because everything kind of aligned. And I think we were in a space because of COVID and other issues. Basically, I'd been spending 12, 18 months trying to fight issues and resolve problems constantly. And it's really tiring. So I was in that space where I needed a change. Something had to change, and whether that change was going to come internally, which we had already planned to work on and were kind of putting the foundations of hiring more managers so that it would take some pressure off me, because I was under a lot of pressure for a lot of months, and it's just not sustainable. So something had to change. I knew that already. I recognized it. So obviously when you do that, you think, oh, I'll change it internally. But then another type of change came. I was like, oh, maybe that's a better change, because it was just very exciting. And the prospect of working on something different. And we love what we're doing. We love what we do every day. But, you know, after 10 years, sometimes you just want to do something a little bit different and try something new as well.
So I'm really interested to delve into this a little bit further in terms of what it means for you. And I know when we talked before, we talked a lot about how you kind of manage your life, construct your life, and make, you know, essentially you've designed your working life to make sure it works for you. And so now you're going to be part of somebody else's business. So how does that work as you make that transition? Are you still going to have the kind of autonomy that's going to help you to design the life that works best for you?
Yes, absolutely. And I think actually I'm going to get it back because I kind of lost it. Mm-hmm. I was working way too much. And when there's a lot of pressure, a lot of things to do, you think you work more and more and more hours. And then you feel bad because you should be spending that time with your family and not working constantly or thinking about work constantly. So it got to a point where every night I would just go to bed stressed about trying to think about my to-do list for the following morning and then waking up thinking about work. And it's just an endless cycle, or that dreadful from Sunday lunchtime, I was already dreading the Monday morning. And it's just too much. It's at that point, like, actually work took over completely my life. And I didn't have that flexibility anymore. I lost it completely at some point. It comes really gradually. You don't see it first. But looking back, I was just working too much and thinking about work too much. So actually what this move is going to do is give me back that flexibility. The people we're going in business with are very much like us in terms of how they want to work, and they don't want to work 100 hours a week. It's not the point. The point is to build something great with our own lives. We all, you know, they also have children and other commitments, and that's not going to change them. What I'm hoping is that with less responsibility, because I'm going to be responsible for some things, but not all of it, I will be able to gain back some flexibility and actually make the most of the hours that I work, but having less pressure the rest of the time.
And so how does that serve you on a personal level, do you think?
I already sleep a lot better. it's just that there's a bit of, it was a relief to, I think it's twofold. This one, there's obviously less work and it's more focused on one product. And that really changes when you work with clients. And at the end of the day, even if we have team within the team, that are responsible for products, Nick and I were responsible for the overall business and therefore all of the clients. So when there was a problem, they would all come to us, and sometimes all at once. So when you have 10 or 12 with all different agendas and different deadlines, well, you have to follow them, because you're there to help them as a tech partner. And that means that your attention and your time is divided between everyone, and they're sometimes fighting, or you're trying to resolve issues for three clients on the same day at the same time. It's really hard. Whereas now we have one product. So yes, it's a big product and there's ambitions. It's going to be a lot of work, but everyone is on the same page and working on the same product and on the same agenda, on the same deadlines. So that helps. And also, although I love running a business and the strategy of it and being able to be in control of everything from sales to profitability and the team, and it's a lot of work and it's a lot of pressure. So a lot of that is taken away from me. For example, we're not responsible for sales anymore. And just that in itself is quite a lot taken off you, because that means we can just focus properly on what we actually enjoy to do. And for me, that's managing a product and making sure that what we build is what the customers want, and be there between the team and the customers.
Mm. It sounds like you've managed to bring back a real focus around what you're doing, and therefore, you know, have the quality that you actually desire within your working life.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'm so interested to talk about, and the fact we're already talking about this, the acquisition, and the fact that that's something that you're doing, that you will have done probably, you know, over the next few weeks. And partly because I think it's something that most founders will feel is a really, really long way from them until it's there. And I'm talking as somebody who also has done an M&A deal this year, and where I had in my head that there were points you needed to get to as a business before people might be interested in an acquisition or a deal of some type. And I just wonder if it was the same for you, and whether if you kind of think back to Natalie 3-5 years ago, something like that, and look forward and go, oh, that was the pathway, whether that was anything you could ever have planned for.
No, I couldn't. I never believed in an exit as such. And it's something we had discussed with in the past with Nick, and he really believed in it. He was like, yes, of course we can make it. And we said, you want to build the best business that you can, and you don't build it for that, but there needs to be something at the end of it. Whereas I was like, no, that's never going to happen. We're just an agency. All we do is sell time, and not even just our time, people's time. And these people, see, they're here because they want to work with us, but they might not be there in 6 months or a year. So I didn't see any real value, not enough value in it to be actually interested to someone else. And that kind of changed probably in the last year or two, because I think I don't know what happened, but I think I had a better idea, maybe going out there, talking to people a lot more, maybe of the value that we had, or what we could bring, what was different about our business that might be interesting. But I never really thought of it. But there were two, for us, an exit. It was three types of exit. It's either you just close the business because you've had enough and you go to something else, which was for me very valid. Or you get acquired by a bigger agency, or you get acquired by a client. And obviously the client route was our preferred route, but also the least likely, because we don't have that many clients. And by definition, they're all startups. So quite small and with not a lot of financial power, and which makes you think actually it's never going to happen. I never really thought it was going to be possible. So it's a really happy surprise.
And did Nick share your lack of, you know, did Nick have the say, was he on the same path as you, or did he think that actually there is a possibility here and I'm really excited about it?
I think he knew earlier that there was a real possibility, something that I didn't see. And I know a lot of our clients would hire Nick as a CTO, but just by himself rather than the whole team. And I knew that was probably what's going to happen, as in Nick gets a job that he really is really interested in, and then the rest of us will just go and do something else. But he really believed in us all as a team rather than just individuals. So I think he was there earlier than I was.
Mm. It's got to be a boost to self-esteem. I'm not suggesting that your self-esteem was low in the first place, but it's got to be a boost to think, not only do these people want us to come and work for them, but they want us so much that they are willing to then go over and above and actually acquire the whole company and everyone who works for us. I've just been thinking about that idea of, in our lifetimes, in our careers, perhaps we go through phases where we're not even sure of what value we bring, and maybe we're nervous about even getting a job at all, and will I get paid? And then to get to this point of, wow, not only do they see the value in us and our team, but they also like see that so much more that they want to acquire the business and that, you know, put extra value in because of that as well. That's got to be amazing.
It's great validation. I think when that happens, it shows that you've worked, yes, you've worked hard for 10 years, but you've built something that is really valuable. And and especially in that case, because they didn't want the clients or the work or the pipeline or anything on that side. They really just wanted the team, the processes, the way that we work.
Mm.
And it's what I think the most proud of is that team that we've put together and how they work together and the skills that they have. They all have amazing skills. And I've put it together and we've done it. We got there. And then we got the extra validation of another few clients saying, oh, damn, we kind of wanted to do, but it was just a bit too early for us. But if you waited a few more months, you probably would have another offer on the table. It's very validating.
And how interesting. Yeah, that it is those things, that it's that work you put in, and you described it to us on the last podcast when we interviewed you before, and this value of how you build the team and the processes that you have in place, and how wonderful that's essentially the thing that people are seeing the value in.
So it's exactly.
So Natalie, if looking back, it was Steve Jobs who said it makes sense backwards. So with that nice analogy, what do you think, where do you think you added the most value? You've just said about validation. Actually, what has this acquisition validated for you in the way you've worked and the way you've built the team and consolidated the processes?
It's all the care that we put, and not just looking at shipping work for the sake of shipping work, it's or looking just at the numbers. It's all the care that we put in looking after the team, in listening to them, in trying to work together and not just Nick and I dictating everything. It's a real collaboration. And also we've refined our processes for so many years. And the reason it works is because we've done it with the clients and with the team all together. And we've been able to adapt to every one of them, and we've learned so much on the way. So I think it is really the care. And even if sometimes when you care too much, you waste time or it makes you exhausted, or the profit is not as high as maybe someone should gonna say it should be, because you'll spend too much money on the people, or you spend too long on projects and actually you should really cut short or invoice more. But I think it's that care above everything else. Obviously the business has to work and it's still a numbers game, but it's not just that. And I think that paid off, because that's what this startup is buying, is the care and the fact that we wanted to do the best for all our clients, and now they just want us to do the best with this particular product.
I can remember you talking before as well about sticking to your boundaries and your values, and even when clients kind of overstepped that, you also weren't afraid to say, actually, no, we don't work at this time, or we can't deliver that because it's just not viable within what we do. And I wonder if, you know, at the time perhaps that feels scary the first few times you do something like that, because you're pushing back against a client, whether even those things are things that have helped to build this value and this care that you talk about.
Yes, and also it helps for everyone in the team to feel like they're doing something good and they're being looked after. And as well, if we look after them and they see the way that we treat the client, then they'll do it. And they have real ownership of everything they work on. And I think that's really important for a team to have, because I wouldn't want to have anyone in the team who just wants to turn up for a 9-to-5 and then mm-hmm. go away. There's nothing wrong with just working your working hours. It's more being committed and really being involved in what you want to do and be happy to come to work every day rather than just be there.
What I'm hearing here is the company that bought you, the startup that bought you, recognized the value, the immense value of an established team, and the fact that teams aren't just a collection of individuals. Actually, they are a synergistic whole, and you and Nick have created an environment in which that team can sing together, and it brings out the best in all of you, and you're greater than the sum of the parts. And it's not just a plug in and play. They've bought something that will just carry on and build in its strength because it's got deep foundations. Is that a fair reflection?
I think so. It's not just skills, is it? It's how you come together and how you can solve problems together, and how and everyone understands that, as you said, you know, you're better as a team than anyone could be on their own. Absolutely.
So tell us, how did it go when you broke this news to the team?
It was a real shock. No one had seen it coming, and obviously we couldn't say anything until it was done, as happens with these deals. It was a real shock. But we explained everything. We explained the reason behind it. And I think they all understood. They could see that Nick and I were overworked, and they could see that they can understand that wanting to do something different is just human. And also it's business. And I think we couldn't keep the whole team. So that was quite hard. Mm. But again, we had the very open conversations, and we tried to answer all of the questions. So there was a bit of a moment where no one was really sure what was happening and what we'd just done. But then they all came, and after a few days, they all talked to each other, and some of them had never been introduced to that client yet. So they were it was really unknown. But what I'm really grateful about is that they trust us. And they trusted us to the point that they all said yes immediately. Even if they had no idea what the product actually was. And then they all came together, and we tried to make it work, to explain, and they were all really excited for that next step for different reasons. But it's also a technically very interesting product. So I think it ticks a lot of boxes for the team in terms of what we're trying to achieve, the industry it's in. It's a tech for goods, and it's technically challenging. So it's quite interesting.
It's interesting how traumatic exits can be. And it's obviously you're feeling really buoyant about it and excited. And it's tough then when you've got some sadnesses, because there'll be some goodbyes that you have to say as well. And of course, as humans, we're wired to see change as threat. And it's really interesting. Some people, particularly, you know, entrepreneurs, see change as just exciting and bring me something new. But not all of us, and not all of the time. What do you think has helped over the last few months just ease the way for the collective good of the team?
Being human, and we knew, and recognizing that it's not just a happy news, it's actually what's got a bad news for a few people in the team, and showing that we were really trying our best to make that change the best that it could be. So we've introduced everyone that was made redundant, we introduced them to either recruiters or directly to other companies that we knew were recruiting, and all of them I think have found a job pretty quickly. It was nothing personal, and we would have kept all of them if we could have. That part was a business decision. But yeah, being human, and actually they could see, you know, it's not something, I think it was the worst day of my all working life, having to tell so many people such a sad news. So it's just it's being empathetic and trying to understand what they're going through. As you said, it wasn't a good change. It was a shock for everyone. And we knew, so we were kind of prepared for it. You can't really make it any better, that is. So all you can do is try to smooth it out and yeah, be understanding of what they're going through.
I can imagine that you are somebody who is very understanding and would have made that process, by the sounds of it, as pain-free as possible. How do you look after yourself during that process as well?
You can't really. You wait till the end. You wait till it's all over and then you can sleep again. The whole process was really... So not only you can't say anything, you can't tell anyone. So Nick and I had each other, but that's all we had. But we had to carry on as normal with all the clients and the whole team. And that's pretty hard because you feel like you're going to work every day lying to everyone. Mm. So then you're also trying to do a deal on the side, which involves a lot of time and lawyers and contracts. And it's not my idea of fun, but it has to be done. So there's a lot at the same time to handle. And that time wasn't really great. But then when it's all over and all signed and out and you've managed to kind of put it all there and done your best to make it happen, then you can look after yourself and we took a few days of holidays.
And how, looking back, this wonderful value of hindsight, if there was someone else about to go into this period of time, how would you counsel them to look after themselves and help them make the best decisions for themselves?
It's a really hard one. It's the very basic of trying to get a good night's sleep as much as you can. And sometimes a lawyer can wait for another 12 hours. Or trying to find times in the day where you block out one or the other. I know our days were really mixed between everything, and maybe I should have spent, you know, my morning on client work and then taken a few hours to do something else, but really being clear in my head that I couldn't do both at the same time constantly, because that juggle I find really exhausting. So maybe blocking out actually time properly to do either one or the other, make sure that it's quite equal and everything gets done, but not trying to juggle it constantly all the time.
Mm. So now, as you are coming towards an ending, what are you going to do to mark that ending? Kind of how are you going to make sure that this transition is one that has some reverence to it?
I don't know. So, because I don't think I realise it's going to really come to an end. And I think maybe having it at the end of the year, we have the Christmas break, which gives us a good break. And we need to end everything that is cookies related before Christmas and then have that holiday that we always take anyway every year. And then come back in January fresh, ready to all be full time on this product. It feels like a good transition, almost having that 2 weeks in between where we can all, I don't know, come to an end. We do want to do a little party next year in the spring at some point when we can all come together again, hopefully at some point, and mark the end of 10 years of business. But yeah, I think that will be the real end for me, is when we manage to, we've seen obviously people that we've been involved with and but we just kind of want to come all together to do something and to just have a last toast to cookies.
And what gifts are you going to be taking from this past period of time, this incredible venture, into 2022 and this new beginning?
What I found again, and I think something maybe I lost sight of, and I'm really excited to find out, is joy every day when I go to work and purpose and knowing why you're going, where you're getting up, and really being happy to do what you do every day. We spend an awful long time at work every day and every week. So I really want to make it joyful and purposeful, and do some good and not just go to work and do some real good in the world. Yeah.
I'm interested in what would have happened if this offer hadn't come in, because you've already described kind of losing some of that joy and getting those horrible Sunday night feelings of, oh my gosh, I've got to get back into it again. So do you think that you're already mindful that you needed a transition at some point soon anyway?
Yes, and we had started. So there was the plan for the next 2 years, if the offer hadn't come through, would have been to hire a line of managers to actually offload a lot of the responsibility so that I could focus on the actual strategy of the business. And I had found a framework that I wanted to follow that would include some people in the business for two reasons. One, obviously, the line of managers is really important when you get too big, because you can't oversee everything. You have to have people in between. And the strategy framework that I found was involving key people in the businesses so that the strategy and where we were going with Cookies wouldn't rely just on Nick and I. And it wasn't just us two anymore. It was a team of people that really believed in it and what we were doing and how we were doing it, and then bringing it to the rest of the team. So it was all kind of set and almost ready to go. So there was something that was for me, there was still a light at the end of the tunnel.
I love it. You'd created your own light. And then actually, I do think though, isn't it? When we,
this is
when
what
we
happens.
Create that space to feel good and connect back and have hope again, it opens up opportunities that perhaps we couldn't even imagine before, when we were stuck in the moments when everything was overwhelming.
Yeah. It is hard though to get there, because you don't see it that you're really stuck until something happens that actually makes you realize that you need a change. And for me, it took too much time to get there. I wish I'd got there a few months earlier.
Yeah, that's another one we all say in hindsight. Why did it take me so long? But like you said, these things creep up on you gradually. So we'll wrap up quite soon. But before we do, I want to know about kind of what next. You've talked about that a little bit. I know that something that you were talking a lot about previously was mentoring other people and working with others. And you were also talking about kind of being out and about more and in whatever way possible. And I just wonder if that's also in your future now, or whether it is going to be much more focused on delivery of this product and leading the delivery of that product within the new business.
It's still very much the same. So I'm still involved in mentoring with Set Squared and other organizations around Bristol. Nick is as well. We carry on as before. There's a few initiatives that we wanted to bring with Cookies, like signing the Mother Board Charter, for example, that we didn't quite get to do because it was coming to the end, but it's something that I've put on the agenda for Q1 next year. So it's still very much there. And the values that we had in Cookies and what we wanted to do with the team is still very much what we want to bring to the new team. It's just going to be a different name. As far as we're concerned, it's the same values and they should still be there. Obviously, there's a bit of a transition period right now where we're all trying to find our feet, and maybe it's not going to be as quick, but it's still very much there. It will be done next year, and there's a lot that we want to do. And as I mentioned briefly, we are going into the health tech for good space, and it's one of the reasons why we also accepted the offer, is to go into that kind of tech. So it goes with everything that we're doing on the product side should also be reflected on the internally.
And so it all comes back to vision and values by the sounds of things. And if we have that alignment, then we can re-find the joy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we're lucky to have found acquirers that are very much aligned with us on that.
So just as finally, what are you looking forward to with the Christmas joy? How are you going to bring that to you and Nick and your family life over the next, as you have these lovely, lovely few weeks just to take a breath, or maybe it'll only be two, but just some time.
It's time and time with the children. I mean, for me, Christmas is all about, obviously, being with the children and giving them the time. There has been too many times in the past year where they've just moaned because we had to work again and again, or because you think they don't see you but you're actually on your phone and like they know you're working, they see through it. So I think it's finding that time and doing things with them, just to be together and to really enjoy being together.
Lovely.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to catch up with you and to really hear about how backing yourself and backing the vision and the values that you have and really holding on to them with your team have driven you forward to this point where you've now got a new exciting challenge that feels even more in alignment with where you want to be next. So thanks so much for sharing that with us. I'm really happy that we were able to catch up with you, like I said, and I hope people can get a lot of value from hearing the story, but also by perhaps going back and listening to where you were nearly 2 years ago and where we all were nearly 2 years ago, and the naivety of 20 or early 2020, and actually just see that journey and see how things do adapt and change over time. And especially when you're in this entrepreneurial situation, it's sometimes you can feel like you're buried deep in something, but actually things change very quickly.
They do. They really do. Yes. Hope is there. And you can create your own hope, as we've said.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. What a lovely way to end, actually. Create your own hope. And so I think what a beautiful invitation to us all is how are you going to create your own hope and look forward to 2022?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been lovely. Thank you, Natalie.
So we can't always control the situations that are going on outside of us, but we can be in control of how we react to those situations.
And that is what mind styling is all about.